Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the shape of a war theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep. Stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, death from circumcision. Have you ever wondered why male circumcision is so popular? Is it something the Creator ordered man to do? Is it better than not being circumcised? Does it generate easy money in the medical field? How does it impact on the infant? Is it safe? What is circumcision? Circumcision is the surgical removal of the foreskin, is the skin covering the tip of the penis. Each circumcision costs medical or private insurers about $250 to $300. Genesis 17 says, in a covenant the Creator had with Abraham, which originally was named Abram, his name was changed. This is not a religious study or anything. I'm just relating to the history of circumcision in the scriptures. In this case, the Bible or the Torah. God said to Abraham in Genesis 17, he said more than this, but I just took this part out. As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male amongst you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner. Those who are not your offspring, whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. That means forever. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. So, death from circumcision, higher than suffocation and auto accident, says Dr. Ryan McAllister, PhD professor at Georgetown University. He said, based on a journal of boyhood studies, estimates that more than 100 baby boys die from circumcision complications each year, including from anesthesia, reaction, stroke, hemorrhage, and infection. Infant circumcision is elective. All of these deaths are avoidable. Parents, he said, people agree to circumcision because he feels that parents are, if doctors are complicit, helping to commit this act, or deceptive, and parents ignorantly say yes. Okay. Let's do it. Or if a lack of courage to say no, then maybe they feel compelled to do it because the doctor gives them a couple of reasons to do it. And there are a list of reasons that some say that you should get circumcision. But we'll get to that later on. The study found that approximately 117 neonatal first 28 days after birth, right, circumcision-related deaths occur annually in the United States, every 77 male neonatal death. The study also identified reasons why accurate data on these deaths are not available. Some of the obstacles to preventing these deaths and some solutions to overcome them. To put this in perspective, he says, 44 neonatal boys die each year from suffocation and 8 from auto accidents. About 115 neonatal boys die annually from SIDS, nearly the same as from infant circumcision. So we have SIDS and infant circumcision. but in a close, race. MRI studies. The brain is permanently altered from infant circumcision. And this is very interesting right here. It says Dr. Nari, director of Pacific Institute for Advanced Study in 2008, in his Peaceful Parenting article. He said MRI data indicated that the surgery subjected the infant to significant trauma. The greatest change occurred in the lymphatic system, concentrating in the amygdala and in the frontal and temporal lobes. So the amygdala, that's that, I think that's just part of your brain that deals with that amygdala hijacking. You have when you get excited or flight or fright syndrome and things like that. I see. It says the data indicated that circumcision affected most intensely the portions of the victim's brain associated with reasoning, perception, and emotions. Follow-up tests on the infant 1 day, 1 week, and 1 month after the surgery indicated that the child's brain never returned to its baseline configuration. In other words, the evidence indicated the brain of the circumcised infant was permanently changed by the surgery. They said when they attempted to publish their findings in the open medical literature, they said that all the participants in the research, including the doctor, were called before the hospital discipline committee and were severely reprimanded. Could they not publish the results of their research, but they also had to destroy all of their results. If we refused to comply, we were all threatened with immediate dismissal and legal action. Now, I hope that story's not true. Intact or circumcised, a significant difference in the adult penis by, again, Dr. Daniel Day, PhD, in 2011. Circumcision, he says, impairs the capacity to regulate the health, pH, temperature, lubrication, antibodies, movement, and functioning of the genitals. The purpose it was created to fulfill can no longer be accomplished. Dr. Axe says, what we call pH is short for the potential of hydrogen. It is a measure of the acidity or alkalinity of our body's fluids and tissues. It is measured on a scale from 1 to 14. The more acidic a solution is, the lower its pH level. The more alkaline, the higher the number is. High acidity is associated with disease, just so you know. So that pH, to be able to regulate that is very important. Healthline, medically reviewed by Beth Holloway, RN, in 2017, written by Brian Kranz. Older children or adults may need circumcision to treat several conditions. These conditions are inflammation of the tip and foreskin of the penis, inability to retract the foreskin. I guess you would. When the foreskin is retracted and can't be returned to its original position. So those are reasons that you might require circumcision. In healthy newborns, there is no medical need for circumcision. However, families may choose to have their son circumcised for numbers of reasons. One of the most common reasons is religious tradition, which is why I read the passage from the Bible and the Torah. So the religious laws of both Judaism and Islam require that newborn boys be circumcised. Other reasons to circumcise include personal choice, aesthetic preference, as in you just like the way that looks, resulting lower risk of some conditions, the desire of some fathers to have their sons look like them. So that facial, that your facial expression just ain't enough for some dad. They want you to look like him everywhere. In Judaism, the ritual of circumcision is called the Berit Milah, something. I can't even pronounce that. Anyway, a Mohal receives religious and surgical training to perform the ritual circumcision. The baby boy is 8 days old, just like in the Bible. It's sometimes performed in the hospital. In Islamic culture, the ritual is a ritual circumcision called the Kitan. It's part of a religious ceremony performed in infancy, but it may be done when the boy enters puberty. Now, here's worse. The older you get, circumcision. Brian Kranz is continuing this article with Beth Holloway, RN, reviewed by Beth Holloway, RN. It says circumcision is the surgical removal of the foreskin, as we said, which the skin covering up the tip of the penis is removed. It's common in the United States and parts of Africa and the Middle East, but less common in Europe and some other countries. The procedure is typically done on a newborn for personal or religious reasons. In healthy newborns, there's no need for that. This is what I'm going to get to. Pros and cons of circumcision. Now, these are the pros. Well, this pros mean why you should get it, or why you. This is very interesting right here. This is not saying that you have a medical condition. You need. This is saying this is why you should get it. It's a decreased risk of urinary tract infections in infancy. Decreased risk of penile cancer. Decreased risk of sexually transmitted diseases, including female-to-male transmission of HIV. Decreased risk of cervical cancer and some infections in female partners. Prevents blanitis, phimosis and paraphimosis. Have no idea what that is, but it prevents that, they say. And it creates easier genital hygiene. Cons. Reasons not to get circumcision. May be seen as disfigurement by some. May cause pain, although safe and effective medications are administered to reduce pain. As has few immediate health benefits. So once you get circumcised, you don't have any few immediate health benefits. May cause rare complications, including cutting the foreskin too long or too short, poor healing, bleeding, or infections. And those last three, I'm thinking, is they left the part out about may cut the tip of the penis off. They didn't even say anything about that. That may happen every once in a while, I guess. But that's not in there. So, Fox News Health in 2012 said that foreskin is rich in HIV target cells. A man without foreskin is less likely to contract HIV and some other sexually transmitted infections. And also, it says less chance of transmission of the HPV virus also means women are at lower risk of cervical cancer, which is closely tied to the virus. Reduced rates of penile cancers and herpes. Now, I find all of that to be, that's very interesting that exposing the penis, would help prevent these things or reduce the chances of this type of thing. So that's interesting. Circumcision death. Some babies die of complications of circumcision. We don't really hear too much about that in the news or anywhere. Maybe not enough babies have died as a result of that. But I can't imagine that's a horror story for to carry a child for 9 months, decide to get a circumcision, and for that baby to bleed out. I mean, it takes about, I think, 1 ounce of blood, baby going to shock, 2-point-something ounces of blood, which we get to, that baby can die, lost. So a baby can't afford to lose basically any blood. I mean, they just got here, so, you know, I can imagine that's not a good thing for a newborn to be bleeding, especially if you don't know that he's bleeding in his pamper. So they say that here, deaths occur secondary to loss of blood or systemic infection from the circumcision wound. A few deaths are reported in the medical literature. Other medical literature conceals those deaths. A few deaths are reported in popular press. They said there's no reason to believe that many deaths from circumcisions are attributed to other causes. There is no reason to believe that many deaths from circumcision are attributed to other causes. For example, if a baby were to die from meningitis that was contracted through the circumcision wound, the death may be attributed to meningitis while ignoring the fact that the baby would not have had meningitis if he had not been circumcised. That sounds like a double whammy right there. So, no knowledge of, you know, a long time ago, they performed circumcisions in ancient times. They didn't have knowledge of sanitation, how you need to sterile things in the environment. The Jews have traditionally performed circumcision on the eighth day of birth for many thousands of years. The medical literature was still reporting numerous deaths from ritual circumcision in the early 20th century. Jewish law allows parents who have had 3 sons die from circumcision to leave the 4th son intact. So apparently, the Jewish people recognize the that, you know, children die from circumcision, and that being a part of their ritual or religious ritual. Person losing 3 children, you know, your 4th, you don't have to risk that one. So they recognize the risk of getting circumcision because they put it into Jewish law. Doctors are highly motivated to conceal the true cause of circumcision, he says. Circumcision death. Neonatal circumcision has no medical indication and is now considered to be unnecessary, non-therapeutic, unnecessary and a non-therapeutic operation. So, it is unethical to carry out such operation on minors who cannot consent for themselves. Consequently, most doctors who have a baby die after circumcision would prefer to attribute the results to his unethical operation to secondary causes, such as infection or bleeding. It is not known how much of this increased mortality is due to the practice of male circumcision. Several doctors have given estimates of the number of deaths that occur each year. Douglas Gardner reported 16 to 19 actual deaths a year in England and Wales from neonatal circumcisions in the 1940s. Now, that may not seem like a lot of infant deaths, but it seems to be the trying to make here is that it's unnecessary. It's an unnecessary surgery, amputation, and if these children never had the amputation, that those 16 or 19 infants would still be alive or would not have died from anything resulting from being circumcised, which is a good point. I mean, if you could save a child's life by not getting that done, why get it done if it's unnecessary? Deaths from penile cancer ranging from 200 to 480 deaths per year. he said. Robert Baker estimated that 229 deaths per year from there were 229 deaths per year from circumcision in the United States. Bollinger estimated that approximately 119 infant boys die from circumcision related each year in the United States. So we got a lot of different numbers here. That's about 1.3% of all male neonatal deaths from all causes. So I guess the question becomes, being a man or a parent, knowing that there's a chance that your child might hemorrhage or have an infection or anything like that, would you still choose to have your child circumcised? If that's something you would choose to do. Because it's very interesting, because I don't think you get that kind of conversation from a doctor. Well, here's a, you know, there's a chance that the child might bleed out or get an infection and cause either or both cause death. And how many people would get their child circumcised if they knew that there was a 2% chance that he would die from an operation that was unnecessary, the amputation that was completely unnecessary. There's no medical reason why you're getting it done. You know, and you know, for the people that who do it because of a religious faith, that's a different story there. But even for that, how many would still do that, knowing that it could cause the deaths? Apparently, the Jewish people continue to do so up until a certain amount of kids, or some people, you know, they kept that tradition to the point where they made a law and said, okay, look, y'all lose three. That's a lot of people to lose. You know, to me, that's a big number. You get to lose three kids through circumcision, amputation, and of the skin, foreskin, and then your fourth one, you don't have to remove the skin. Why not just don't remove the skin of the first one, if that's the case? Why do three have to die for that? You know, that seems a hard thing to ask of somebody. I can imagine that some people, seeing that happen in their culture or society, didn't opt for the surgical amputation of the skin. So, coroner's reports of deaths from circumcision are known to exist. Demetrius Manker died from blood loss in Dade County, Florida, on June 23, 1993. The coroner's report on the death of a previously healthy one-month-old infant. You know, so you have all these different children that died. Raleigh Roman Bryan McWillis, less than 48 hours after his circumcision, is available. Baby Raleigh died of hypovolemic shock, the hemorrhaging at the circumcision on wound. Despite the abundant evidence of death from circumcision-related causes, the March 2009 circumcision policy statement of the American Academy of Pediatrics, the AAP, omitted any mention of possible death from circumcision-related causes, thereby helping to keep American parents uninformed of the possibility of death following circumcision, which is my question a few minutes ago. How many parents did child circumcise knowing that there's a possibility, however small, that the child could die? So it's an unnecessary surgical process. I'm sure parents are not getting kids circumcised to prevent those diseases, you know, that I just mentioned, those, you know, from the PROs and things like that. Unless they've been made aware that your child has a particular ailment, and circumcision surgery would be a necessary method of addressing the problem. But what about the people who are just You know, I want them to look like me. That's what we do. Then you just follow a cultural tradition to get certain. Would you do that? Would you choose to get your child circumcised? And what about the child's right? I mean, he's not, it's his body, his penis, and his pain. What about his right to, you know, not to have part of his body amputated from him before he even knows what it is? I mean, is the foreskin something God made an error, to create an error in creating man with foreskin? Therefore, foreskin should be removed. Is that what we're saying with the circumcision? What's going on here? You know, why the push for circumcision? African tribal circumcision produces reports of death or serious injury every year. The Mali and Guardian reports 7 dead in the fall of 2003 and a total of 250 dead since 1995. And there's a whole list of victims, you know, but this list of victims are not as long as some of the other list of victims from other tragic issues that we have in our planet, I guess. You know, so maybe it's not drawing that much attention because of the percentage of infants that die. But these guys, the thing about this is that it could be avoided because this is an unnecessary surgery. So, I'm going to have to go with the doctors on the, if it's not necessary, why do it? Because I can't imagine that a guy who's the difference between an uncircumcised penis and one that is going interacting sexually with someone who has HIV. I think you both are at risk for catching HIV. The guy with the foreskin and the guy who doesn't. Even though I hear that HIV is a very fragile virus, and you know, I guess maybe they're saying that the skin incubates the virus in the skin, and when you're circumcised. This is just me saying this, and I'm just trying to figure out why they, you know, say that. Said that for that. The other, if you are circumcised, gets the air hits it and maybe kills it faster. But I can't imagine there's a lot of guys who are circumcised that are amongst the people who have contacted HIV who are circumcised. And, you know, they probably argue that point, you know. So a baby only needs to lose 1 ounce of blood to hemorrhage and just 2.3 ounces to die as a result of his blood loss. It can and does occur at a frightening quick pace. So I think that's very, very important in terms of people who do or have their male child circumcised. You understand, you see blood, take your child back to the hospital. Because it doesn't, you see a little bit of blood, it's a little person. A little bit of blood is a lot of blood for that little person, apparently. 1 ounce of blood, that's not a lot of blood. 2.3 ounces, it's not a lot. So you may look at that and just think it's just a little something going on, but, you know, take your kid to the hospital. Any sign of blood, any sign of anything looking crazy, take the baby back. Better to be safe than sorry. The foreskin is highly vascularized, so it is likely to hemorrhage when cut. Lots of veins and stuff coming in the foreskin. Lots of highways for the blood. That's what they're saying. Blood, lots of blood vessels. The severing of the frenular artery is very common. Infants have a minuscule amount of blood in their tiny bodies and can tolerate only about a 12% blood loss before hypovolemia shock, and death. So, any sign of blood, I say if you see any blood, take that baby to the hospital. A 4,000-gram male newborn has only 11.5 ounces, 340 milliliters of total blood. volume at birth. So they have very little blood. Many newborns, and especially premature infants, weigh much less, and a small amount of blood is lost, which is significant to trigger hypovolemic shock in those infants. So the smaller the baby, the greater the risk when losing blood. Circumcision of infants, therefore, carries the inherent danger of hypovolemic shock and death. To the cons of getting circumcised, that seems to, if it's unnecessary, why take that risk? They said that clamps are used on the amputation site when the skin is removed during circumcision surgery to stop the bleeding. Of course, the clamp, right, is also the reason these clamps are left in place at least 5 minutes after cutting is complete. The penile clamping is an attempt to prevent this new little baby from hemorrhaging to death. First, no one tells parents who are about to cut their baby that he may well hemorrhage from the surgery and that the possibility of death exists. And I think that's that should be a physician's medical responsibility to inform parents, caretakers of any dangers of any surgery, necessary or unnecessary. You should, make the parent aware, because the infant doesn't even know. He's not able to make a decision. All he's going to do is suffer from it, whether he needs it or not. Second, rarely are parents briefed on all the complications that can and do arise post-op for a circumcised baby. Third, even 2 ounces of blood is easily hidden in a disposable diaper, and by the time a diaper change takes place, it may be too late. The DOC reports that the quantity of blood loss that can kill 2.3 ounces is easily concealed in today's highly absorbent disposable diapers. Those diapers are efficient. Instead of the cloth diaper, which you would probably see that, it would probably come through there. So here we have a problem, And I imagine I don't even know if most people are circumcised or not. I don't know, but many, I know many have to be, because it's a practice, a religious practice, and it seems to be maybe a commonplace of a lot of places, especially here in the United States, as practice, whether it's religious or not, cultural practice or whatever reason people do it. It's something in this culture that appears to be done frequently, at least, the mistakes. So an infant dies from circumcision, hospitals are quick to cover up the mistakes. That's not good. While pro-cutting U.S. culture continues to propagate myths about how common morbidity and mortality due to circumcision are, see? They're saying, oh, that's rare. That's rare that a child dies from circumcision. Parents rarely talk openly about their son's death due to circumcision, because this would mean admitting an unnecessary cosmetic amputation surgery killed their child, which means that they are responsible for allowing that to happen because it didn't have to happen. So they might feel a little guilty about that. Also, it is almost unheard of for an attorney to take a wrongful death due to circumcision. That's very interesting right there. Because infants are simply, they say, because infants are simply not valued in our society. And the payout for a short, undervalued life would be negligible. I hope none of that's true. So just how many boys die each year as a result of the, in the United States, as a result of circumcisions? Deaths from circumcisions are drastically underreported, they say, because hospitals are not required to log death due to genital cutting surgery. That's absurd right there. Genital amputation, circumcision, that causes heart attack, hemorrhages, coma, seizures, stroke, or infection may be coded inappropriately as SIDS, or heart failure, or seizure, for example, but not specifically due to the bloody trauma experienced as a result of the circumcision. That's very interesting. I guess that's another study data of SIDS and circumcision. That would be an interesting study right there. How many baby boys, how many children died from SIDS were male, and how many of those males died within a short period of being circumcised. That would be interesting. And was any blood present or an infection present in the child? Maybe some SIDS deaths are not SIDS, it guy's saying. Maybe some SIDS deaths are circumcision in regarding males. They say that the studies have found approximately 230 baby boys die each year in the U.S. as a result of circumcision study. Another study published said that 117 boys die annual from circumcision study. And at least they say that at least twice as many deaths due to circumcision because this thing is not really being reported. And it's being, as previously stated, called something else, coded something as another type of cause of death, which is interesting. That would make circumcision more extremely dangerous, and it would increase the chances of a child just by the percentage of children dying from being circumcised, which is interesting, you know. The APP, again, the American Academy of Pediatrics, continues to issue widespread warnings about choking as one of the highest causes of death among children, despite the fact that a greater number of infants die from circumcision than from choking. And that is, the APP teaches parents to be cautious because choking on food causes the death of approximately one child every 5 days in the United States. One boy under the age of 10 dies every 10 days from choking in the United States, or 36 boys per year. Compare this to one infant boy dying every 2 days as a result of circumcision in the United States, on an average of 174 boys per year. If the APB were to issue a similar warning for circumcision, they must state that circumcision causes the death of approximately one child every 2 days. Not only that, but one infant dies every 2 days from circumcision, as compared to the estimate that one child under the age of 10 dies every 5 days from choking. See, infant, you get circumcised and what? Before you come home from the hospital. So that kid might not even be 8 days old. I don't know. Go back in a week. I don't know how that goes. But this says 8 days. This kid is up to age 10 and choking. But you got more kids dying from circumcision. So, you know, why aren't parents being warned? Because if it's an unnecessary, again, a surgery, why get it? You know. One of the greatest causes of death for children in the United States is circumcision, they say. Which is interesting. And they feel that physicians should, you know, inform parents of the risk. So, This is a chart that has the 10 leading causes of infant deaths in the United States in 2006. I'm going to go from the top. The most birth defects, that's 5,819. Low birth weight and prematurity, 4,841. SIDS, 2,323. Remember that they said that they believe that some neonatal deaths due to circumcision may have been labeled as SIDS. Then we got maternal complications. And we have 1,683. Accidents, 1,147. That's complications of placenta, 1,140. Respiratory distress of a newborn, 825. Bacteria sepsis of a newborn, 807. And neonatal hemorrhage, 618. That's even a larger number. And this source is the CDC and the NCHS. Infant is the first 12 to 24 months of life. Neonatal is the first 4 weeks of life. And I think a lot of circumcision comes in within those 4 weeks. I think some kids, do they come home circumcised? How'd that go? Do they just, I hate to think about that, you know, but, you know. So what do you think? Circumcision. Should you at least be afforded the information to make a more informed decision whether or to or not allow your child to be circumcised? For you adults who want to be circumcised, that's a whole new story. I hope that they tell an adult the dangers and the pros and the cons of being circumcised before an adult made a decision to do so. You should ask questions if no one is giving you the information. So you're an adult, but as for your child, you being a parent, you should ask as many questions as possible regarding circumcision to those parents or parents-to-be or parents-might-be or caretakers-to-be, caretakers that might be, you know. Think about it, you know, before you have this procedure done on your child. I'm not saying you should. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm saying that there are some risks when you make that decision, and some children have died, you know, bled out, had infections and things like that and died. So you need to have pre-surgery information and post-surgery information as well. So pre-surgery is going to help you make the decision whether or not to get the surgery done, as to, you know, why. It's maybe a kid might ask you when he grows up, says, why y'all had that done to me? Because I wouldn't have done that to me. If I had the choice, I wouldn't have done it. You have to be able to explain that to him, you know, because he might. You never know. And I think you should be able to explain it, why it's happening, why that happened to him. You know, because suppose he gets information, some of this information that I have shared tonight, which says that it's an unnecessary surgery unless you have a identified reason to get it. It's no need to get it. And that some children who did not need the surgery have suffered complications and have passed. And as the gentleman previously said, that the it's a traumatic experience, which is really, that was really deep. That he said that it affects the child's brain. Said that the MRI data indicated that the surgery subjected the infant to significant trauma. The greatest changes occur in the limbic system, concentrating on the amygdala and in the frontal and temporal lobes. That's right there. That's very deep right there, you know. And, you know, what do you think? Maybe we need to get a little more information before we start cutting things off our kids. Physicians need to be more responsible, or who's ever doing it, surgeons, whoever is the medical personnel that responsible for that should have that talk long before a woman has that baby. Before that baby even shows up on the planet, everybody should know, you know, people, you know, parents, they should know, okay, if you're going to get circumcision, here's some information you need to read first. If you don't, your kid's not going to die. Is he? He's going to have infections because he's not circumcised. As I said, urinary tract infections in uncircumcised males, circumcision decreases it. And to me, it seems like if you're uncircumcised, you have more protection because it keeps things from going right into your penis. When you're uncircumcised, when you are circumcised, you know, you're just exposed. And therefore, say like if you went in a lake and it was a kind of, you know, parasite and crawl up your penis or something like that, or something, microorganism has a better chance of crawling up a penis that's that has been circumcised than one that has not been circumcised. I don't know, that's my little theory right there. Seems like the creator made that as a protection for the male, not as a, something to cause them harm. Or else why in the world do we have it? They have different numbers for how many babies die each year. And I guess that's because it's an underreported or underidentified phenomenon. So I'm going to ask that, you know, doctors, medical professionals be more responsible, be more informative. Parents, caretakers, again, be inquisitive, very inquisitive about, you know, the medical procedures of being done on your children, because you could be making a decision that costs your child his life. It doesn't matter if it's rare, because if it happens to you, whether it's rare or not, it has no impact on how you feel about losing your child or how you feel about you making that decision that contributed to your child becoming ill and thus dying. You know, that's not going to help you feel any better about that situation just because it's a rare thing that happens, and especially if it's something that didn't need to happen. So what would you do? Would you get circumcised? Would you circumcise your child or not? It was, this guy says there were 50 reasons to leave your son's penis alone and not let a doctor cut it up. I'm just going to read a couple of these real quick. Basically, he says this is, right, your child has no part in making a decision on what happens to his body in terms of an amputation, because that is an amputation, you're cutting a piece of an organ off. He said he never met a man who wanted less penis when he was old enough to care. Men tend to like their penises just the way they are. You can change your mind. It's not possible to uncircumcise, although there are men who have chosen to restore their foreskin. That is something deep right there, later in life. If you're not sure, don't decide at all. It's a non-decision. There is no medical reason to do it routinely. All right, just because you're born, you get circumcised. Bam. So I don't know, maybe that came out of the religious practices that became custom. And, you know, therefore people just did it, you know, just do it. The circumcision isn't the majority for newborns anymore, according to the New York Times. The infant circumcision rate is down to 32%. That means 68% of your son's locker room will likely have natural penises. If you circumcise, he will probably ask you why he's different from his buddy. So apparently, parents are opting out for the circumcised. let me see. Natural penises are easy to take care of during the diaper changing years. Just wipe it like a finger. No retracting, no mess, no fuss. Compare that to having to care for an open wound on a diaper.
Right.
Kid's not in any pain when he comes from the hospital, at least not associated with his penis, because there's nothing cut off. So he has a point there, too. You wouldn't cut your baby girl's genitals. In fact, it's illegal. Even a nick is illegal. Male circumcision is a lot more involved than a nick. Many doctors and nurses refuse to perform the procedure because it violates the Hippocratic oath, first, to do no harm. It hurts a lot, really. Don't believe me. He says there's a video. You can watch the video. I didn't watch the video. I didn't want to see a little kid in pain from a circumcision. With the, he said they had to sound up. He said you can watch this video. This baby had a circumcision. You know, no. Babies can't be properly anesthetized. An older child or adult would be given anesthesia and strong pain medication after that operation, especially one on their genitals. Babies can't have the same level of anesthesia.
Woo.
So, man, so they got to suffer through that. And that's the trauma that the doctor was talking about that he noticed on the MRI. So, for all those listening, I want to thank everybody for listening in. I can go on, but this guy has 50 things here. I want to say, I want to thank everybody for calling in. I want to thank Mr. Jones for allowing me to host this show. I know it sounds like I'm on soapboxes about this circumcision thing, and apparently it seems to be going, the rate of circumcision appears to be going down, according to this gentleman in the United States, which is, I think it's a good thing if it's an unnecessary surgery, and it's not necessary to put your child at risk of death or pain and suffering or trauma. Just because you want them to look like you, or whatever reason that you might have. So I want to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I want to thank callers calling in, listening in, callers for listening in on the internet.
You will not be able to stay home, brother.
Peace.
You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the shape of a war theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.